Hello, and welcome to episode 97 of the Movie Brats podcast. I am Carter, and joining me, as always, is Jonathan. Just fresh after doing our top movies of 2023, we're doing our most anticipated of 2024. And Jonathan, I know you've been ready to record this podcast for quite some time now. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Last two times we did this, there ended up being one movie on each of my list that I've already seen because they took so long to do it. There was Woody Allen had a movie that got released really early in the year, and then I wanted to see Infinity Pool. But this year, none of my top 10 have come out yet. So we're good.
Yeah, a fresh start to 2024 immediately after the Oscars. Let's open the page on the 2024 movie season. I guess we're going to count down from 10 to 1 for our most anticipated.
And you start this time.
With my number 10 most anticipated movie of 2024. It is a director who I think I've seen every one of his movies so far that he's released, because there have been so few. This is the fourth movie directed by Robert Eggers, Nosferatu, which is going to be released Christmas Day 2024. It is an adaptation of Dracula by Bram Stoker. But I guess in some ways more of a remake of the German expressionist film from 1922, directed by F.W. Murnau. But as we have seen with Robert Eggers' three previous films, he is very interested in period pieces and also kind of the weirder elements of period pieces, as we saw with The Witch and The Lighthouse.
And I heard one interviewer ask him, would you ever make a film set in the present day? And he was like, no,
I have no interest. Today is not weird enough compared to the past. So one of the more interesting filmmakers of period pieces. And I expect this one will be very much rooted in Victorian London, as the source material is. An outstanding cast. Bill Skarsgård is playing Count Orlok, the titular Nosferatu. Nicholas Hoult, which I think will be making further appearances on this list, is playing Thomas Hutter.
From a vampire film after Renfield, which was okay.
Yeah, very much so. And then filling out the cast, Lily Rose Depp, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Emma Corrin, Willem Dafoe, who previously worked with Eggers on The Lighthouse and also The Northman, and then Ralph Ineson, who previously worked with him on The Witch. So a very good cast, very interesting subject material, and probably one of our most promising young auteurs, Robert Eggers. This is Nosferatu, my number 10, premiering Christmas Day 2024. Did this make your list, Jonathan?
Yes, it is my number 8, opening on my birthday, December
25th. What a present for you.
Yes, I think it's quite likely this will premiere at one of the fall film festivals like Venice or Toronto. But it is a film that Willem Dafoe has said in a recent interview that he has seen some of the footage, and that the way the film visually looks, he says, it's unlike anything I've ever seen in a film.
Whoa.
This is a film that has not only, the original film by Murnau, they didn't get the rights to it and Bram Stoker's estate sued, and they actually were supposed to destroy every copy of the film, but thankfully it survived.
Yeah.
And then Werner Herzog did a remake in the late 70s with Klaus Kinski.
And then there was also a movie with Willem Dafoe playing Max Schreck. Yes.
There is a film called Shadow the Vampire. One of the nominations that Dafoe got, Best Supporting Actor, where the conceit of the movie is that what if Max Schreck was actually a vampire. And John Malkovich plays Murnau. Very good
film.
Have
you seen it?
Legally. Yeah, not legally streaming anywhere. Wish it would get a Blu-ray release.
Oh, wow.
Certainly excited for Nosferatu. I didn't like The Northman as much as I liked his first two horror films, but I'm very much a fan of his. I'm very intrigued. And I'm not how dare they remake Nosferatu. It's the original, they didn't even have the rights to do it,
And the movie's over 100 years old. I mean.
Yeah, literally.
I think when a movie, when its copyright expires, maybe it's okay to remake it.
Yes, and there have been times where directors have done a movie that they had great feelings for, like Peter Jackson doing King Kong. I feel it's more, it's certain, it's that, I mean, no one's making a new Nosferatu as like a cash grab, like let's just
No.
remake this and have, sucker the people, and it's going to be very arty. So yeah, I'm very excited. That's my number eight. So I should do my number 10
Yes.
is the film Bird,
Oh.
directed by Andrea Arnold, who I actually just caught up with two of her films I had not seen. I saw American Honey, and her
Yes.
most recent feature film was a documentary titled Cow. So she's going from Cow to Bird. And this film stars Barry Keoghan and Franz Rogowski, who most recently were in Saltburn and Passages, respectively, were two of their at least more recent movies, two of the more interesting young actors working today. Andrea Arnold did a movie that is really wonderful, one of the great films about adolescent, called Fish Tank.
Amazing movie.
Yes, one of the earlier films I think people saw Michael Fassbender in,
Yes.
year or two
Plays a real
after.
scumbag in that one.
Yeah, and she's a really interesting director. She actually did the second season of Big Little Lies, but they kind of took it away from her and re-edited it, and like she wasn't too happy. It's kind of like, who's the auteur in television? It's like this
Yeah.
showrunner, the director. But I'm very excited. I don't really know anything about Bird. I don't want to know. I just know it's Andrea Arnold and it's those two actors. So I'm very interested in that. And she's actually one of the directors I've never actually gotten to see one of her films in the theater. I missed American Honey. Cow kind of came out in the middle of the pandemic. But I've seen all but one of her movies. She actually, did you ever see, she did an adaptation of Wuthering Heights. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't. It looked really interesting though.
Yeah,
Wuthering
has
Heights is
some black
really dark
actors in
book.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be one I could check out before this one is released. But yeah,
Did you
Bird,
see
not.
American Honey?
No, it's a pretty long movie from what I remember. Shia
Yep.
LaBeouf and
Yeah.
who's
Non-per
the
Riley Keough's in it.
and then there's the actress who was in Conversations with Friends and it's going to be in Twisters.
Or Sasha Lane
Yes,
is the
Sasha
lead.
Lane. Yes.
Yeah.
Who I haven't seen her in a lot, but I really liked her in Conversations with Friends. I'm a real Sally Rooney head, so I caught her in that one.
I don't even know who that is. Who?
Sally Rooney? Oh my God, the greatest living writer. She did Normal People. Did you ever see that TV
Oh,
show
I've heard. Is that the one with
with Paul
Duncan?
Mescal and Daisy
Yeah, I don't
Edgar-Jones?
know
Yeah,
TV as well, but
it's
yeah.
great. And then she had one, Conversations with Friends was her first book, and then Beautiful World, Where Are You? She published a couple years ago. That was actually the first novel I ever read in the year of its publication, because the books I usually read are like 200 years old.
Oh.
So I felt very proud of myself for staying up with contemporary fiction. But yeah, Sally Rooney, everyone check out all Sally Rooney's books.
Yes.
Anything else
But
you want to say about Bird?
nope, I don't know. Some of these, I don't know anything about them. I don't want to know. So,
Yeah.
what is your number nine?
My number nine is Juror Number Two, directed by Clint Eastwood. And I think I've seen that this might be his last feature film. We can't exactly take that their word for it on that one, because he might, shoot one in 3 weeks next year, because you just can't keep Clint Eastwood down. He just loves
In
making
about
movies.
six weeks he turns or 7 weeks he turns 94.
So there is not a release date on this one, but in all likelihood, it will probably debut at Cannes, either in competition or out of competition. This is also one we really don't know too much about. No trailer has been released. We do have a brief premise, which is a juror serving on a murder trial realizes he may be at fault for the victim's death. Wow, if that doesn't get you interested, I don't know what will. It's got a very
But the
interesting
cast,
cast. The
yeah.
cast is amazing, with Nicholas Holt is playing the lead, Toni Collette, Zoe Deutsch, Kiefer Sutherland, Leslie Bibb, Chris Messina, J.K. Simmons, and then some other names and faces I'm sure people have seen before, but largely in supporting roles. So Clint Eastwood, I've seen, I think, all of his movies this century in theaters. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure I have. And I think we both quite like Cry Macho more than most people did, because
Well,
I think that was
the
pretty
one I like,
reviled by a lot of people.
no,
But
the one I really liked that was
was
The
The Mule.
Mule.
Yeah, I like
Yeah,
The
that
Mule a
was
lot
like
as well.
so good. But
Yeah.
yeah,
Also.
I saw $1 Million Baby in the theater in its original release, and then I didn't see his Letters from Iwo Jima,
Oh, I
the original,
love Letters from Iwo
and then after those two, I've seen every film he's done in the theater in his original release. So he's one of the ones I've seen the most films by in their
Yeah.
original release. What's odd is though, I've only seen like three of his movies besides those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they direct it. I've seen Play Misty for Me, his first one, Unforgiven, and that's it actually too, I think.
Oh, well. Unforgiven is, if I had to say what my favorite movie ever is, it might honestly be Unforgiven. But that's such, you're much better at deciding those things than I am. I have a real hard, I'm very,
Deciding what your favorite movies are or what
yeah,
mine are.
I'm very fickle at yeah, saying what it, I'm in some ways a coward. I never want to like take the risk of saying this is my favorite and putting my neck out there. But Unforgiven is very, very much up there for me. So I'm really looking forward to Clint Eastwood's next movie. Hopefully it's not his last, but you know what? It might just be. And Nicholas Hoult is a really interesting actor. I think he's takes a lot of different kind of roles and gives a lot of different kinds of performances. He can be very funny, he can be very scary. So I'm interested to see what he is as the lead in a Clint Eastwood movie.
And has a connection to a film that is very high on my list. He's not going to be in it, but he's connected to a previous film in this franchise. I will tease that. You know what I'm talking about. My favorite, he's in my favorite film of the previous decade.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. That will also be appearing on my top 10.
I will say that Juror Number Two was shot not that far from me in Savannah, Georgia, and was actually shut down during the pan, well, not the pandemic, because of the
The
strikes.
SAG-AFTRA strike,
And
yeah.
I was like, Eastwood's like 93 now. You know, it's like I
Yeah.
was really glad he got to finish it, but he'll probably outlive almost everyone. You know, he could have another seven films in him. I mean, he does about a film every year and a half.
He works so fast is the thing about him. And I
Yeah, he
think he's
does like
really good at
one
staying under
take.
budget as well, yeah, because of that.
Yeah, I heard that once he was one of the films he was starring in, the cinematographer said, we just did one shot and it was a little bit out of focus. And Eastwood said, people know what I look out like by now. You know, so, but yeah, so my number nine is this is the most like WTF, like, what is this movie going to be? It's Emily Perez. Okay. It is directed by Jacques Audiard, who has
Oh.
done films such as A Prophet,
Yes.
Rust and Bone. He did a film that won the Palme d'Or, which I did never see. It was like Dipan or something.
Oh,
He,
Dipan's really
yeah,
good. It's like
yes.
about council estates outside of Paris.
Yes. And he has this new film, Emily Perez. It stars Zoe Saldana, Edgar Ramirez, and Selena Gomez. It is a film about a drug cartel, and someone is going to do one last job
Oh, I
and
love a
take
One
the
Last
money.
Job movie.
Wait, gonna take the money and have transgender reassignment surgery. So it's a transgender drug cartel drama and it's a musical.
Oh my God.
Everything about this, I'm like the guy who did A Prophet doing a drug cartel transgender musical with Selena Gomez. I mean, I'm just like,
Was
this is
his last
crazy, right?
movie The Sisters Brothers? I
No,
think.
he did one. He did a black and white romantic drama that was had Paris in the title, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I've seen a handful of his movies, but he's like one of the more revered French
Oh,
directors.
yeah.
His last film was called Paris 13th District. It came out in 2021.
13th
But
arrondissement.
yes, yeah, I'm just like totally intrigued by what that movie's gonna be.
No, the description has me giddy. I'm just like smiling from ear to ear. I didn't even really realize that this was happening. I guess it's going to be in English. Maybe it could be in Spanish, I guess.
I'm not sure. It seems likely that might premiere at Cannes, but you know, because you
That's
know,
the thing
but
about so many of these, we know so little about them.
I know, but that all that intrigues you, right?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm at the edge of my seat waiting to see this because I really do like Jacques Audiard a lot. He was The Beat My Heart Skipped, I really liked, was one of his earlier movies. Dipan, I thought was amazing. A Prophet is like one of the best prison movies I've ever seen. Rust and Bone, great movie about orca whale accidents. and
Marion
also street
Cotillard
fighting. Yeah, Marion Cotillard.
dancing in her wheelchair to Katy Perry.
Yeah, amazing. So my number eight, very different than the Jacques Audiard auteur movie, is The Fall Guy, directed by David Leitch, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. This is coming out pretty soon. It already premiered at South by Southwest pretty recently and will be premiering wide in the US May 3rd. This is an action comedy about a stuntman who needs to rescue the lead actor of the production he's working on after he has been kidnapped. And this just seems like a very fun, I've heard really good things actually from the South by Southwest screening. And apparently Steven Spielberg took Ryan Gosling aside at the Oscars and said, "I love The Fall Guy." So if Steven Spielberg gives it his thumbs up of approval, that's good enough for me.
It
Definitely.
has 17 reviews on Metacritic, 77 rating. Very good.
So pretty good, especially for the genre, which, we haven't necessarily seen great action movies aside from the John Wick franchise and maybe Mad Max, if you can consider that to be an action movie, or if it's like a dystopian sci-fi.
Yes, it's like
I
one of
mean,
the greatest. It's number one in action movie. It's like
it's
the
quite
greatest.
different than a lot of the other ones that come out. I think David Leitch's last movie,
Bullet
was
Train.
Bullet Train, which I had high hopes for, but it, fun movie, but very hollow and very sort of like candy colored, leaves you a bit empty at the end. So
49
much,
on Metacritic.
not great. So The Fall Guy, very excited for. I think Ryan Gosling is one of our more interesting movie stars we have working today. And Emily Blunt is pretty fantastic in everything she's in. She's playing the director of the production that sort of forms the focus of this movie. And a very interesting supporting cast consisting of Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Winston Duke, Hannah Waddingham, who most people would be familiar with her work in Ted Lasso, Stephanie Tsui, who we saw in Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Teresa Palmer. And then Lee Majors, the $6 million man in his final
Well,
film role.
and the star of the TV series it's based on.
It's based on a TV series. Oh my God, you know more
Yes,
about this than I
that
do.
multi-season TV series that Lee Majors was starring the
Well,
star.
there we go.
Yes,
That's
that's
the connection. There you
no. Well, he's not dead. How do you know this is gonna be his last movie?
go. I spoke too soon. I'm sorry for RIPing Lee Majors, but he's very much still alive and active. But honestly, I've never act it's like a person I'm familiar with, but I don't think I've ever seen anything he's actually in. I mean, I'm
I
sure.
saw him playing Ash's father in the Evil Dead TV series, Ash versus Evil Dead. That was fun casting.
Really? One of like the biggest TV stars of 70s and 80s, right? Married to
Yes,
Farrah Fawcett, I know that.
he's someone that you've probably seen in some movies, but he's certainly more known for television.
Yes. So The Fall Guy coming out pretty soon.
He's in Scrooged. Have you seen Scrooged?
Nope.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't.
It's actually not a very good movie.
So that is my number eight, The Fall Guy.
Yes. Okay. Well, my number eight was Nosferatu, so I will jump to my number seven. Another musical, being stereotypical gay, but these are not stereotypical musicals. This is The End, not to be confused with the Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, Sally Field black comedy about suicide from the 70s. No, this is Joshua Oppenheimer, director of the incredible documentaries The Act of Killing and The Look of Silence, doing a musical starring Tilda Swinton, Michael Shannon, and George MacKay.
Whoa.
I'm very intrigued by this. The Act of Killing, I would put in my top 10 of the 2010s. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. It's the one where the director got these real Indonesian mass murderers who never served any prison time and are still glorified by their government. And he gets them to stage their atrocities as different film genres, and they film it as like a musical, as a Western, as a gangster film. And so he is making a narrative film, and the only description on IMDb is a golden age style musical about the last human family.
Whoa.
So I am very intrigued about this because it's like, what is this going to be? But Tilda Swinton is one of the five greatest living actresses, and it works with the coolest directors. She has the greatest lineup of directors that any living actor has ever worked with. And Michael Shannon does interesting work. So, The End, I'm very intrigued what that's going to be. The Act of Killing director doing a narrative musical with Tilda Swinton.
I mean, yeah, your last two definitely sound like almost like very difficult to describe with words, but I can't imagine. And I'm really excited to see what they're actually going to look like in their final form. My next one, my number seven, is a movie I don't necessarily expect to be good, but I am so intrigued by its backstory and the personal risk that the filmmaker is putting up that I'm just very interested to see how it turns up. And the next one will actually be kind of similar in terms of the personal financial risk put on by the filmmaker. This is Horizon, an American saga directed by Kevin Costner. The trailer was released a few weeks ago. Entirely self-funded, from my understanding. $100 million movie that he's releasing the first installment of what he hopes to be, I think, a four or five installment film series, set in the American Civil War during the expansion of the American West in the immediate post-Civil War period. It seems like it's going to be a real throwback epic Western of the kind that we have not seen for some time. A really extensive cast. I won't go through everything, but some of the highlights of the names for me personally, Sienna Miller, Giovanni Ribisi, Michael Rooker, Danny Houston, Will Patton, Tatanka Means, who we saw in Killers of the Flower Moon, Jamie Campbell Bauer, Thomas Hayden Church, Michael Angarado, Angus McFadden, James Russo. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I think this might be a bad movie, but I'm really excited to see if it isn't one, because if it
How do
is
you feel
good.
about Dances with Wolves?
I quite like Dances with Wolves. It's, I think, sort of treated harshly by history because Goodfellas obviously did not win Best Picture and Best Director, and Dances with Wolves did.
But you shouldn't, that's not that
I
film's
know,
fault,
I,
though.
yeah, I don't think that that's its fault. So I think it's a Dances with Wolves is a very interesting revisionist Western.
I've never seen any films directed by Costner.
Really?
I've seen a number of films he's acted in,
Yeah.
but I it
He's an interesting filmmaker. And this is, I think, his first movie he's directed in quite some time. I think maybe like Open
he's
Range was the last one he
yeah
directed.
2003 yeah he's directed Dances with Wolves, The Postman, and
Yeah.
Open Range.
So if anything, Kevin Costner takes some big old swings and he might strike out and fall on his face, but
Four movies, gonna be
four
four
movies.
chapters.
Yeah. So we'll see if Kevin Costner goes bankrupt on self-financing these, but you really need to give credit for someone backing themselves and having a vision and sticking to it. And this is the movie that he left Yellowstone, which was a big cash cow for him to make. So he's putting it all on the line, and I will definitely
And
be buying a ticket to support him and his vision.
not that this is really pertinent, but like he's gone through one of the most
Public
messy
divorces, yeah.
divorces. I will at least see the first one, I think. I wonder if it'll be like Avatar. What would happen if it like majorly bombed? Well, I mean, it's funny, Westerns are so dead in general, but like Yellowstone is one of the most like incredibly successful TV series in the last 10 years.
So I mean, I have no idea. I mean, that's why I'm interested in this movie, is it could be anything. It could be like one of the worst movies of the last few years, or it could be the start of a new big trend of epic Westerns in American cinema. So, excited that he's taking a big swing, and I hope it lands. But I'm not exactly expecting it.
Well, my number six is O Canada, the new
Paul
film written
Schrader.
and directed by Paul Schrader, and it is reuniting him after over 40 years, nearly 45 years, with Richard Gere. Did one of his earliest films as writer director, American Gigolo, and it is based on a novel by Russell Banks, who wrote the novel Affliction, which is considered one of Schrader's best films. That film starred Nick Nolte and won James Coburn an Oscar. The author passed away a year or so ago, and it is about a documentary filmmaker who is dying and is being interviewed. Richard Gere plays the filmmaker.
Oh,
Jacob
wow.
Elordi is in it, as well as Uma Thurman. It is a movie that is. You know, I'm there for Schrader. Schrader, it's like that's pretty much why, but I'm also intrigued. I need to actually, Schrader's one I've seen very few of his films. I've seen his last three films, but the only ones I've seen, he has that kind of trilogy. of First Reformed, which was my favorite film that year, The Card Counter and Master Gardener. The only movie I've seen of his that besides those three most recent ones that he directed was Mishima: Life in Four Chapters. But so I need to catch up. I at least watch American Gigolo before this new one. But I'm very intrigued with the premise. It's about a filmmaker dying. You know, Schrader's had some health problems in recent years. People thought he may not make it when he was doing the press for Master Gardener. But he was at Metrograph watching the Oscars, I saw from their social media. So he's, still going. Supposedly he has a script that deals with a trauma nurse that, and he also has all these projects. One, he has like it's a really sexual film about a woman, and it's a lead character, and Elizabeth Moss is going to direct it.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so but O Canada is his next film as writer director, and that could I could certainly imagine premiering at Cannes. I think it's done. It's was shot last year. I love how Schrader gives zero Fs because like he went on Facebook, his Facebook, you have to follow him. He just shitted completely on Saltburn, who has his lead actor, one of his lead actors in his film, Jacob Elordi. He was like, yeah, Saltburn, eh. He just wrote a negative review of it. It's like he doesn't care. But yeah, O Canada.
Yeah, he was best known as a screenwriter, I think, in his early career. He wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull.
Yeah, he's written, or was at least one of the screenwriters on four of Scorsese's films, and went on to his first film as writer director is Blue Collar. Some of his other early ones are American Gigolo, like I said, and Hardcore.
Yes,
Been
Hardcore is a
quite
wild movie.
prolific.
Yeah. So my number six, also a self-financed movie. Written, directed, and produced by Francis Ford Coppola. This had a very notable production, as I think it had to pause multiple times for financing issues. So Francis Ford Coppola has not been wanting for money thanks to his wine label, but I think apparently he has sunk is maybe the wrong word because we haven't seen whether it'll make a profit yet, but I don't necessarily see it profiting on its $120 million budget. This had a very notable production, as I mentioned, in Atlanta
The
over.
title.
The title is Megalopolis. It is
My
described.
number one most
It's your number
anticipated.
one,
Yes.
really? Okay,
Yes.
so I mean, seeing as it is so high on yours, maybe I'll let you speak on it a little bit.
I don't know what this movie will be. It could be a big bomb. It could be this is the best movie he's made since Apocalypse Now. I mean, it could be a masterpiece. It could be, oh, sorry, Francis. But yeah, he shot it in Atlanta. The cast is it's a well, okay. I mean, it's a $100 million plus science fiction movie that also has like Roman, like people in togas. The cast includes Adam Driver, Jason Schwartzman, Aubrey Plaza, Shia LaBeouf, Giancarlo Esposito, Dustin Hoffman, John Voight, Forest Whitaker, Lawrence Fishburne, Catherine Hunter, Talia Shire, and SNL current cast member Chloe Fineman. I have. I'm ashamed of how few films I've seen by Francis Ford Coppola. I've actually seen more films directed by Sofia Coppola because I've seen all of her films. I've only seen six films directed by Francis Ford Coppola, the Three Godfather films, Apocalypse Now, The Conversation, and Jack. But I will catch up with some of his films. It will be his first film since Twixt, a 3D vampire film that starred Elle Fanning, Val Kilmer and Bruce Dern that like virtually no one has seen. I think a lot of people haven't seen any of his movies since The Rainmaker, which was
Yeah, pretty much.
97, John
Yeah.
Grisham adaptation. He made some kind of arty stuff like Tetro and Youth
Youth
Without
Without
Youth.
Youth, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen any of his, what's the last movie his you've seen?
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, that was like 30
Yeah.
years plus now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Known
I
for
have.
not being necessarily the best manager of his own finances. Let's say that much.
Yes, but I, even though it's not your number, would you say maybe it's the movie you're most intrigued by?
Yes, definitely one of the most ones I'm most curious about. I was in Atlanta about a year ago, and I think that was the final couple weeks of production. And I was still seeing like open casting calls for extras, so I was like, "Yeah, maybe I should go try and do that." But I missed out on that. But it would have been very interesting to see it being shot in real time. So this is
I'm
one,
really
yeah.
kicked. I was gonna say
People.
I'm really kicking myself that they had a screening of Bram Stoker's Dracula at one of the independent theaters in Atlanta, and I've never seen it. And I was
Oh,
like, oh, I
yeah.
should go see it. And I didn't. And then Coppola showed up and did a Q&A unannounced. And I was like, oh my God, I could have seen Coppola.
That's some
He's going to
serious
turn, I
FOMO
think,
there.
I know he's, I think he's turning 84 next month.
Yeah. So yeah, one of the America's probably most well-regarded filmmakers. This is his first one in 13 years. So one any movie fan should be really interested and curious about. And
Going to be an IMAX.
yeah, and I know that like sort of it's icky to talk about box office and stuff like that, but when someone puts so much of their own money into it, it kind of is an important part of it. Because I mean, yeah, I mean the last two with Horizon and this one, it's amazing to think about someone putting in $100 million of their own money into something like this. So fingers crossed it's a masterpiece and he earns back at least some of it, because I'd like to see him continue to make movies, because it seemed like he was really energized by making this one. It seemed like a real passion project for him. And Adam Driver has been one of our best actors of the last decade or so. So this has all the
And you
makings
want
of
to
being really good. So
talk about like with Tilda Swinton, like his lineup of directors in like 13 years is insane.
unbelievable. Yeah. It's
Like
like,
I don't want, we can't, we'll take half the podcast if we
yeah,
list them all.
exactly.
I mean, Scorsese and Spielberg and Coen brothers and yeah, on and on and on.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we're on to your five.
Yes. So my number five is, I don't know French, but it's Woody Allen's 50th film. Coup de
Goodness gracious.
chance, is that how you pronounce
Let
it?
me
C
see.
COUP
Coup.
DE.
Coup de chance.
Yes. So this is the 50th film written and directed by Woody Allen, who's 88 years old. It premiered last year at the Venice Film Festival. It is going to get a brief theatrical release next month in April. It will play in very few theaters. I probably will have to drive to Atlanta to see it. But it is being released on April 5th, and then it's going to come out on Blu-ray. It is a French language drama thriller. Woody
Ooh.
Allen does not even know French, but he loves French cinema so much. And he's like,
He
hey,
does
it's my
love
50th.
Brits, yeah.
Yes. They say it's in the vein of Match Point,
Okay.
and they say it's one of his better films this century. And it's his. One of his, it's like his last, I think it's his fourth or fifth film in a row, shot by Vittoria De Sica, who shot
Wow.
films like
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now and Reds and The Last Emperor. And yeah, I'm, it worked with Bertolucci many times. Yeah, I'm you know, I Woody Allen's controversial to some people. Some people don't want to see his movies anymore, and I'm a defender of his movies. I think that there are some that aren't as good nearly as his ones. It is amazing string. From like 69 to 99, he had this 30-year period where he had like just so many really good or great films. And then he got more hit or miss in the last 25 years. But I definitely will go see this. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, Woody Allen has a new film. It's like always going to be in my top 10 most anticipated. I don't know any of the actors in it.
Yeah.
But there are people, if I looked up, like, oh, it's that guy from that French movie or that girl from that French movie. But French language film. So I'm there. Coup de chance.
I love
Yes.
that he's taking this real European bent in his final years. That's like a lot of his movies this century have been set abroad.
Match Point, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, two of his better ones this century. Midnight in Paris, certainly.
There was the one
Yeah.
about the film festival in San Sebastian.
Yeah, which no
So
one saw or liked except me, but I liked it. Like, what other movie has a scene where it's spoofing Eric Romare and it has Steve Gutenberg in it? No one
none.
else.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we will finish this first half of the episode with my number five and one of the more notable victims of the SAG-AFTRA strike in terms of its release date. This was supposed to come out last fall. It is The Bike Riders, directed by Jeff Nichols, and with an outstanding cast including Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, Tom Hardy, Michael Shannon, Mike Faist, Boyd Holbrook, and Emery Cohen, and a few other names. It is based on a photo book from 1967 on about the Outlaws MC motorcycle gang based out of Chicago. We've had two trailers for this, and because of the cast, including Austin Butler, who's becoming one of the bigger stars working in Hollywood these days, I think it will hopefully be a pretty major release when it comes out on June 21st. It premiered at Telluride last year. Jeff Nichols is mostly known for sort of quiet, intimate movies. Loving was his last one from 2016, which was one of my favorite movies of that year. He also had Midnight Special released the same year, but so a 7 or 8 year layoff since his last movies. One of the more interesting filmmakers of kind of like rural America, kind of quieter characters generally. Mud was his, and Take Shelter were two big breakouts in the early part
Take
of the last
Shelter is
decade.
my favorite of his. That's a really good. Did you ever see that one?
No, I did not. That was when Jessica Chastain was really exploding, and her and
She
Michael
was in like
Shannon.
eight films in like a year and a half.
Yeah. So the Bike Riders, I'm really interested in the trailer. I don't know too much about it besides what the trailer has given me in the cast, but Jeff Nichols is one of the more interesting filmmakers of this century, and I'm really excited. He's got a new movie coming out this summer with a really extraordinary cast, and I've been a fan of pretty much everything Austin Butler's been in since he exploded onto the scene with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Elvis is not a perfect movie or not even like a great movie, but you can't deny that he is an outstanding in it. And he has been the star of one of my favorite TV shows of the year so far, Masters of the Air. So, and coming off Dune Part Two. So I think that was one of the big reasons they postponed it during the SAG-AFTRA strike, is they wanted to strike the anvil while it's hot on the Austin Butler phenomenon that is currently engulfing Hollywood. Any quick words on the Bike Riders, Jonathan?
I've seen all of Jeff Nichols' films. I've seen all but the first one in a theater in their original release. The Bike Riders currently has 16 reviews on Metacritic, a decent 74 rating. So I certainly want to see this film. I highly recommend watching Take Shelter
We'll do
if you
that
get a
before
chance.
this. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I think Michael Shannon's been in every film of his.
Yeah, I think he has.
And
Really
Tom
interesting
Hardy, I
character
haven't
actor.
seen in a minute. I haven't seen
No,
Tom
yeah, and
Hardy.
we get to see him do another weird accent as he tries out the Chicago accent, one of
I
the
haven't
stranger
seen,
ones in America.
yeah, he had small parts and he had a small part in Spider-Man No Way Home, and he was in the Venom, but he hasn't been in a film since Capone, which was by the guy who
That's
did the
crazy.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But well, we'll
All
do our
right.
top five next
Yes. So we
in a
will take
minute.
a brief break and be back with the rest of our most anticipated movies of 2024. Get very excited. We will be back with you in just a second. We are back from our brief break to count down the final of our most anticipated movies of 2024. Jonathan, you are on number four or number five?
I have a number four.
Number four. So, Jonathan, your most anticipated movie of 2024 at number four.
Is Hard Truths the newest film by British director writer Mike Leigh? It is his first film since Peterloo, which I feel
Yes.
like we're the only two people that saw that
And
movie.
loved
I know,
it.
I very much liked
You'll be
it.
happy to know my brother screened it for one of his history classes, so at least school children of a high school age saw
Oh wow, that makes me
it.
very happy. This film, Hard Truths, very little known is known about it, except it is set in the present day, his first film since 2010's Another
Another
Year,
year,
because
yeah.
Mr. Turner and Peterloo were both period pieces. And it is an all black cast.
Oh.
Interesting. It stars one of the people is Marianne Jean-Baptiste, who was Oscar nominated for his film Secrets and Lies. I don't know if the film will deal with, but I've heard rumors that it's like a post-pandemic looking at the current state of Britain.
Oh.
You know, the way he makes his movies, for those that don't know, he gets his actors together and through months of rehearsals and workshopping, they come up with the characters and the dialogue and the story, and then they shoot it. They do these really lengthy rehearsals. Like I heard one Vera Drake went like 10 hours.
Oh my
and they
God.
didn't break. I'm very excited for. I don't think he's ever made a bad film. He made one theatrical film, Bleak Moments, in the early 70s, and then went over 15 years doing TV movies, but given the same creative freedom doing the way he does his movies. And then he's made in total about a dozen or 13 theatrical films. And some of his most well-known ones are Naked, Secrets and Lies, Happy Go Lucky. And I've
Topsy-turvy.
seen all of them. Yeah, great film. 1999, one of the great films in that great year of films. 25 years old this year.
Ooh.
I really think that he's one of my 10 favorite living directors. He's 81, and every time he has a movie, it's like a gift to cinema to me. And I almost feel privileged when I get to see his newest film. I've seen his last three in the theater when they came out. So I just adore his work. So I don't really know anything about it, but I don't need to. It's just Mike Leigh has a new film. I'm there.
That's enough. Well, for my number four is almost at the
Hopefully we'll premiere at
complete.
Cannes. I was gonna say, hopefully we'll premiere at Cannes.
Well, that's yeah, for a lot of these ones we've mentioned, release dates have not been released yet, but I think a Cannes opening would be preferable for a lot of these. So from
Cannes
the
opening.
intimate small movies of Mike Leigh to pretty much the opposite for a movie whose budget apparently ballooned to $350 million. That is, of course, Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott, coming back to the well-worn Roman world that he so delightfully captured in 2000's Gladiators, one of the formative films of my entire life, still one of my favorite movies ever. I'm a sucker for anything Roman, and I'm a sucker for anything Ridley Scott. So this combination is very much in the Venn diagram of my tastes. We don't really know too much about it besides that the budget went crazy over, despite having a pretty limited shooting schedule. But it seems like Ridley Scott is real in his sort of F it kind of moment in his career, where he just doesn't really care about things like budget anymore. It is set 15 years after the events of the first Gladiator film. And is set to take up the story of a young character in the first one named Lucius, who will be played by Paul Mescal in this film. It has an outstanding supporting cast, including Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal, Joseph Quinn, and Connie Nielsen and Derek Jacobi, who appeared in the original Gladiator film. It looks like it will probably have a fall release. I think November 22nd is the release date as of now. Really don't know much about this. I really hope it's not like the biggest flop of all time. And I,
Hopefully it's better than Napoleon.
yeah, exactly. Although I
You
quite like
actually like
Napoleon.
that though. Yeah.
Yeah, I was one of the few defenders.
Denzel Washington was in many films by Tony Scott, his
Yes.
late brother, but was American Gangster the only film he's worked with him before?
It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Yes.
Denzel Washington, obviously one of our great living actors, so very interested to see what he does in a supporting turn in this upcoming film, Gladiator 2. I kind of wish it had a different title besides Gladiator 2. It just sounds kind of silly, and I don't know if it's
Gladiator colon the new age, the
yeah,
Roman age. Yes.
Gladiator back again, or Roman Empire, don't you think about it? Maybe something like that. But Paul Mescal is one of my favorite working actors. Burst onto the scene with Normal People. I think I gave a Sally Rooney shout out recently. And recently appeared in All of Us Strangers in a really excellent supporting role. He's being really good with choosing interesting directors, and he was cast in this movie after Ridley Scott saw him in a production of Streetcar Named Desire, where he played the Stanley Kowalski character. So I'm interested in seeing if we have that kind of Stanley Kowalski energy coming to his character in Gladiator 2.
And we
Hopefully we
won't
get a
see
trailer
it.
soon. Yeah.
I was gonna say we won't see it for nearly 20 years, but he is going to be in Richard Linklater's Merrily We Roll Along,
Yes,
which
very
they're
much so.
filming
Which will be
almost
our most
out.
anticipated movie of 2045.
Yes, when Richard Linklater is like six, eight, like 81 years old, he'll be Scorsese's age.
Yeah.
There's Chloe Zhao is doing an adaptation,
Of
doing a
Hamnet.
film,
Yeah.
Hamnet. Yeah. about Shakespeare's wife. He's playing William Shakespeare.
I've seen something saying that that's going to come out this year, but I wasn't exactly sure.
It says on IMDb it's in pre-production, so that seems
Okay,
unlikely.
yeah, it seems very unlikely, but I'm as a big Shakespeare head and a Paul Mescal super fan, that would definitely be on my most anticipated of 2025. I have the book in my personal library. I'm going to read it very soon.
Yes.
So really excited for Gladiator 2. I'm going to be there. First available showing. I'm probably going to see it twice the first week. I'm so
What if
excited
it's
for this.
bad?
If it's bad, I'm still going to see it to just support it. I'm willing to give my money for the cause. I'll be
It's
like a
funny, on the list of directors I've seen the most films by in a theater when they came out, a lot of them are like really old. Woody Allen, Clint Eastwood, and Ridley Scott, I've seen like 11 or 12 of
Well,
his
he is just
movies.
so productive. It's crazy. And
Yeah.
he keeps getting these massive budgets for movies that don't really return on investment,
I
like House of
know.
Gucci, Last Duel, Napoleon.
Yeah, well, it's funny that I remember there was an interview for with The Martian, and he was only like, 77 or 78 years old when he made that. And they said, how do you go about, starting, how do you make a film like The Martian with this big cast and all these special effects and all these different locations? You're like, oh, it's simple. You just get the crew together, you get the cast together, and you just shoot it. And he was
Yeah.
like, yeah,
I
that one
know.
I really liked. The Martian's
Yes.
his best movie in like the last 10 years.
I think that's pretty fair to say. Although I
Yeah.
really like The Last Duel. I love The Last Duel. I think that was one of the better depictions of the medieval world that we've yet seen, but was, I wouldn't say reviled, but I don't think it was super appreciated by
It
critics. It
got
definitely
fairly good
was.
reviews, but it bombed. And
It really bombed, yeah.
one film that got very mixed reviews that I actually am a defender of, I like The Counselor. That's a
Yeah, I think Cormac McCarthy's only screenplay, I think.
yeah, or at least on the original one.
Yeah, a really weird movie, The Counselor from 2013.
Yes.
But yeah, Gladiator 2, I'm counting down the days for this one. As soon
I'll
as it
let
was
me.
announced, I was like, oh my God, they're making it.
I mean, I like the original Gladiator, but I'm more excited for a film directed by Ridley Scott starring Paul Mescal, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal than I am for
A sequel
Gladiator
to
2.
Gladiator? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel, I mean, are you like that excited that it's a sequel to, I mean, aren't you kind of
I don't
worried
know,
about?
because I think that I wouldn't say we're like in a golden age of sequels to movies that were made a really long time ago, but we kind of are after Top Gun Maverick and Avatar: The Way of Water. So I don't know, maybe, making a sequel 20 years after the original one isn't such a bad idea. But yes, the cast is the most intriguing thing to me. Paul Mescal, Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal is like suddenly America's most beloved actor.
Yeah, he's in
So
one filming now, a Western, Eddington, Ari Aster. I mean, that cast is insane. It's
yeah.
Emma Stone, Joaquin Phoenix, Austin Butler, and Pedro Pascal.
I mean, yeah, I'm there for that one too.
Yeah, that's not going to come out till next year, certainly, because they're filming it right now. They just started filming it now.
So yeah, we're doing a brief preview of 2025 in this discussion
Yes.
of Gladiator 2.
Well, we should. Well, we can do it at the end, but okay. Can I go to my number three?
Yes, you can.
Number three is another director just a few days ago. He's 81. Mike Leigh is 81. David Cronenberg's new film, The Shrouds. It is a horror science fiction film that is supposedly his most personal film to date. His wife passed away a number of years ago, like 6 or 7 years ago, and she was only like 69 years old. She died of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And this film is about a world where burial shrouds are like interactive screens and you can communicate with the dead.
Whoa.
And it stars Diane Kruger, Guy Pearce, and Vincent Cassell. He has been in a few of his previous films, such as Eastern Promises and A Dangerous Method.
Cronenberg
So,
had one come out 2 years ago. Is that correct?
yes, Crimes of the Future, which was not one
Yes.
of my favorite films of his,
Yeah.
but
To you, as an old Cronenberg head, it seemed like retreaded territory. For me, who hasn't seen many, I was like, whoa, this is like so fresh and new and different. So maybe I should
yeah.
bone up on more Cronenberg.
Yes, go back and watch The Brood and Videodrome and The Fly and Dead Ringers and Crash. He's one of my top 10. So, I have like seven of my very favorite living directors that were born within a year and a half of each other. Scorsese, Michael Mann, Werner Herzog, Michael Haneke, and Mike Leigh and David Cronenberg, Terrence Malick. They're all right born within a very short amount of time, and so I'm very excited. It seems very likely it will premiere at Cannes. Crimes of the Future premiered at Cannes and then came out like a week or two
Immediately
later.
after, yeah.
So I'm hoping, I don't know if Neon is going to release his next movie like they did with Crimes of the Future, but I really hope, I'll see it when I get to see it, but I hope that it's like all these movies I'm excited for don't actually come out like in the last 2 months of the year, and then like three of them end up coming out next year theatrically in the US, and they have
Yeah.
fall film festival premieres. But The Shrouds, new David Cronenberg films, seen all of his films too.
I mean that sounds, all of these are like very much Jonathan kind of picks. Very auteur.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
I love that we're very much staying on brand for our most anticipated
Well,
movies.
to me, it's like, there are certain directors, it's like they have a new film, like it's like absolutely in my most anticipated of the year. Like Mike Leigh has a new film, David Cronenberg has a new film, it's like that's just like 95% of the movies I see are because of a director and or it has good reviews,
Well, I think my number three very much fits that billing. It is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, directed by George Miller. It is the follow-up to Mad Max Fury Road, which came out 9 years ago, I believe.
Yes, 2015.
Starring Anya Taylor-Joy playing Imperator Furiosa, the iconic role that was played by Charlize Theron in the previous movie. Joining her is Chris Hemsworth, Tom Burke, and some other actors, I think mostly Australian, who I'm not super familiar with. The trailer for this has come out. I think it's gonna probably premiere at Cannes, probably out of competition, you'd think, because usually they show a big, not necessarily tentpole or franchise movie, but usually like a big sort of American production as the opening or closing movie. I would very much expect this to be
Elvis
one.
was one
I
2 years
think
ago,
Top Gun
right?
Maverick might have been as well the year it was released. So the first one, the first one, it's not the first Mad Max movie, but
Previous one.
the previous one, Mad Max Fury Road, I think very much one of our favorite movies of the previous decade. I think you might have had it number one, right?
Yeah, this is my number two most anticipated. It's I literally shrieked when I saw that the trailer was released. I went and I ran and watched it on YouTube. I mean, I'm not going to say lower my expectations, but Mad Max Fury Road is just like the greatest thing ever, ever, ever. And I don't think it can match the grandeur, the insanity, just the greatness of that. But it's going to be grand, I think, on a somewhat smaller scale. And in its own way, be amazing. I really don't want to be disappointed by this. I've heard there's been some test screenings and they went very well, and that it's going to be R-rated, like all of them except for the third one with Tina Turner. But I'm
Beyond
really,
Thunderdome, right?
yes, I'm re which I actually still like. It's the weakest of the four, but I just adore. I remember one of my favorite quotes about film is I remember Guillermo del Toro was talking about The Road Warrior, and he said the first time he saw it, it ripped his brain in half. Like he was like, and that's still my favorite of the franchise. It's one of my, I th that's one of my like 25 favorite films of all time. It's in my top 25, Road Warrior.
And Fury Road very much took the same kind of template as Road Warrior, where it's like kind of a there and back movie. It's like about people traveling. The momentum of moving vehicles is such a huge part of it. And maybe we'll have less of that in this one. It maybe will be a bit more of a character study, as much as something can be a character study in this universe of just insane people and insane action and insane things you're saying. There just aren't other movies like Mad Max movies. So,
No.
George Miller, his last movie, 10,000 Years of Longing, right? That was what it was called. I did not see and was.
Yeah, I was disappointed. It wasn't
Yeah.
that good, and it had Tilda Swinton, and yeah, it was and that's the only film he's done since Fury Road, and
Yeah.
he turned 79 a few weeks ago, so he's
Getting
the
up
guy who
there.
did Babe and Happy Feet and Mad Max, all of those.
I know, he's just such a singular voice that exists within cinema. There's no one like George Miller.
I am like just like I can't wait. And I hope it doesn't get delayed. I have a bad feeling it might get delayed, but it's
Yeah,
supposed to come
so
out May 24th.
yeah, the release date right now is May 24, so hopefully it sticks to that, which would be immediately after Con, basically. So I think fingers crossed it premieres there and then comes out in wide release immediately after. And I'm expecting big, big things. I have very high hopes for this. And you don't want to set yourself up for so high of hopes that like it's impossible to deliver, but I'm having a hard time containing myself at this one.
Yeah, so that's my number two, and I've named my number one Megapolis. So what remains on your list? Do you have your two and three?
So my number two is a movie that I think a lot of people have already seen, excuse me, at festival screenings. It is Hitman, directed by Richard Linklater, starring Glenn Powell. It's listed
Co-written
as
by
a
him.
co-written by Glenn Powell as well, based on a
Yes.
really excellent article in Texas Monthly about someone who works for the Houston Police Department pretending to be a hitman to sort of entrap people, I guess would probably be the wrong word for it, but that's basically what they're doing to convict them for trying to have someone murdered. And Glenn Powell plays this character, who's a college professor, who has a double life as an undercover mole slash hitman. But from what I've heard from festival screenings and people who have seen it, it's a real blend of many different genres, like steamy romance, sexy movie, really funny, thriller, comedy. Richard Linklater is one of my favorite working directors. I haven't seen everything he's done, but I've seen most of it. And this seems like a very much up his alley. He's a very much a Texas man. And this being set in Houston about the sort of underbelly of Houston is something I'm really excited for. And Glenn Powell's one of, I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite actors, but he's really interesting actor who I saw for the first time in Everybody Wants Some, also a Richard Linklater movie. And he has a great combination of being very funny and charming, but I think also has some serious acting chops. He's in another movie coming out this year that I thought about putting in my top 10, Twisters, which is directed by Dustin Daniel Cretton.
No.
Which one is it? It's
The guy did Mirari, other Asian guy.
Okay, I'm just mixing up everything. Sorry, my brain is not working at the moment.
Twister, by the guy did Minari. Yes,
Yes.
that's very intriguing that what that's going to be.
Yes. So very excited for Hitman. This did not make your top 10, I'm guessing, but I'm sure this is one you're looking out for because
Oh
you're also a
yeah.
Richard Linklater fan.
If I had been able to get a ticket or the show times worked out, I would have seen it at the New York Film Festival last year. And Glenn Powell, they say it's like just as charming as anything he's ever done. And that, I haven't seen it, but there was that romantic comedy that kind of got dumped at the
Everyone
end
but
of last
you.
year, and it made like $200 million. It's like
Yeah.
crazy business. So yeah, I hope, why won't they? Netflix will not release it. They will barely release it in theaters. Why
That's
wouldn't they?
the issue with it. Yeah, it was bought by Netflix and it seems like it's just going to be a Netflix release. June 7th is what we're listed on,
Yeah,
but
if they release it in theaters, it could make $100 million with him. I mean, like,
yeah.
but they'll barely release it. It's so
Yeah.
stupid.
And then they'll say their internal metrics. It was viewed by 100 billion people, but it's like, what does
Well,
that
I
mean
mean, I don't. I mean, I rolled my eyes, but Zack Snyder said that his horribly reviewed. He didn't say that about his own movie, but he said his film Rebel Moon. He said probably more people watched the
and
on
Barbie?
Netflix than Barbie in a theater, and that might actually be true.
Yeah, which is really sad.
Yeah, and but it's also like if someone's like looking at their phone the whole time and walking out of the room and like do they
Are they
watch?
really watching it? Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, let's not taint this list with Zack Snyder references anymore. What's your number one?
My
Have you already
number
said?
one, by
Not in my top 10.
it seems like it isn't. I think it's probably borderline for you. It's by who for a short time was probably my favorite working director after his first three movies, Hunger, Shame, and 12 Years a Slave. It is Steve McQueen's Blitz, which we're hoping will come out this movie every this year. Everything I've seen is suggesting it will come out this year. It's a Apple TV Plus production and distribution, so they've been pretty good about respecting theatrical windows. So I don't think it'll be shelved straight to streaming like Hitman will be. But this is a period piece, a story about London during the Blitz in the 1940s during World War II. It's starring Saoirse Ronan and Harris Dickinson, along with some faces people would probably know from British cinema, like Kathy Burke and Stephen Graham. I love Steve McQueen. I'm really excited to see his documentary that was released last year, Occupied City, which is a 4-hour documentary. So sounds right up your alley,
Yes.
Jonathan.
Yeah, well, and he did those five. Is it a mini
Small
series?
Axe,
Is it
yeah.
five? Yeah, but his first like out and out theatrical feature film since Widows in 2018, right?
Yes, yeah. So I love Saoirse Ronan. I think she's one of my favorite actresses, and she's
Happy St.
really
Patrick's
good.
Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Really good at selecting material. So I'm so excited for this. As like a noted Anglophile and lover of historical period pieces, Blitz is by far my most anticipated movie of 2024. I just want the best for this movie. I want the best for Steve McQueen and Saoirse Ronan. And as you said about being privileged to see Mike Leigh movies, I feel like I'm privileged that Steve McQueen is directing Saoirse Ronan and Harris Dickinson in a movie set in London during the Blitz. I'm just like, oh my God. It's the sort of Venn diagram I was talking about with the Gladiator and some other ones. I'm very much in the sweet spot for Blitz. So no release date yet. I'm guessing probably sometime later in the year. I could see it being a pretty big awards contender for actress and director and picture. So yeah, Blitz. I'm super, super excited for Blitz. Was this on the
Yes.
borderline for your top 10, Jonathan?
Yeah, I definitely want to see it, but it's not personally one I'm the most excited for, but I definitely want to see it. I'm a big fan of a number of I think Hunger actually might be my favorite of his movies.
Hunger is so good. That like was revelatory for me when I saw it as a
Yeah.
teenager.
Can I just ramble off a few other ones I'm intrigued
Yeah, this
about?
is our big 2024
Yes.
preview. Have your cake and eat it
Okay.
here, Jonathan.
One movie that comes out by the time this episode drops, it's probably going to be in theaters already, but do not expect too much from the end of the world. It's a 2-hour and 43-minute Romanian comedy that has amazing reviews. It premiered at the Locarno Film Festival last year, and John Waters put in his top 10 list. They say it's maddening and slow and confrontational, but it's really good. Got great critical reviews. So that actually opens in limited theatrical US release in March 22nd. So see if that ever plays anywhere near you.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by Alex Garland's Civil War, which just premiered at South by Southwest, stars Kirsten Dunst in her first film since being Oscar nominated for Power of the Dog. It has that's
Jesse
supposed to be very
Plemons,
violent.
Kaylee
And
Spaney, who we saw in Priscilla.
yes. Let's see a few other ones. Evil Does Not Exist, the new film by Rakuchi Hamaguchi, or how do you say his name? Who did
Ryokuchi
Drive My
Hamaguchi, right?
Yes, who did Drive My Car? Raisuki
And that's
Hamaguchi.
also one that premiered at a lot of festivals last fall,
Yeah,
I
it's
believe.
premiered at Venice last year. I would have seen it at New York Film Festival if it wasn't sold out.
Yeah.
Hong Sang-soo already has two films. One premiered all the way back at Cannes last year. It opens May 17th in New York in our day. And then he had another one. He's so prolific. Like he literally does like two or three films a year. His third collaboration with Isabelle Huppert called A Traveler's Needs. That one might not actually come out until the US release until next year, but it premiered at Berlin. Let's see. I'm excited for Maxine, Ty West's third film in the kind of Pearl trilogy with X, Pearl, and Maxine. Yorgos Lanthimos' Kind of Kindness, his new film
Which
with
was
Emma
just
Stone.
announced very recently, but will premiere quite soon, right?
June 21st. I am actually intrigued somewhat by Beetlejuice, the Beetlejuice sequel, Tim Burton directing it. It stars from the original film Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, and the titular Beetlejuice played by Michael Keaton. It also has Jenna Ortega and Willem Dafoe. And you know who Tim Burton's been dating the last many years and is starring in
Eva
the film?
Green?
Monica Bellucci.
Oh, wow.
You know, they were a pair.
He was dating
But
Eva Green for a while, right? And then before that,
yeah,
he
I
was
think
with
so.
Helena Bonham Carter for quite some time.
Yes. It's going to be released September 6th. And one thing I'm intrigued about is that he went back and did a lot of it old school, like puppets and and like practical effects and real sets. So that really intrigues me. A few that have premiered at film festivals already that I'm intrigued for. And hopefully get a US release date. There's this film Close Your Eyes by Victor, I don't know how you pronounce his name, is Erice. He
Air
did a movie
change.
called Spirit of the Beehive, and he's like not made a film in like 20 plus years. And it premiered at Cannes last year and got very good reviews. There is a Western starring Viggo Mortensen called Eureka. Didn't we take a film class where we saw his film that was like Huja or like JAUJA? Were you in that
Oh, that
class
might
with
have
me?
been, was that like film criticism? I don't think I was
Oh,
in
yeah,
that.
you didn't see. Yeah, he did this really baffling Western with the same director, Lisandro Alonso. So this film called Eureka that premiered at Cannes last year. Are there any other ones you want to recommend? I'm just rambling off. The Steven Soderbergh had a horror film premiere at Sundance called Presence with Lucy
Which
Liu
apparently
and
is
Julia Fox.
so crazy that people were like puking and leaving the
Yeah, I certainly want to see that.
Challengers, the new Luca Guadagnino movie, comes out next month. I'm interested in that. It's got a
Yeah.
good cast, including Zendaya, Mike Face, and Josh O'Connor. You don't see
Yeah.
too many dramas about tennis, I'll say that much.
Yeah. A few more. Sean Baker has a new film called Anora that's like his previous film, a few of his previous films about sex workers. Stars Mikey Madsen, who was very good on the show Better Things and was the one that was flame torched at the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
There's also one I'm very intrigued about. Did you ever see the abortion drama Happening?
No, I did not.
The woman who did that was a very well-reviewed film for her first feature film. She is Audrey Dewan. She is doing an Emmanuel film. There was a series of like sex films in the
Yeah.
70s, and this film so stars Naomi Merlant and Naomi Watts. Very intrigued by that. Okay, this one I have to say, Hand of Dante. It's based on a novel by Nick Toshis, who wrote really acclaimed biographies on Jerry Lee Lewis and one on Dean Martin called Hell. Dina. This was supposed to be one of the best like biographies of an entertainer ever. Directed by Julian Schnabel, who did Before Night Falls and Diving Bell and the Butterfly and At Eternity's Gate. Okay,
Bastiat.
cast Jason Momoa, Gerard Butler, Gal Gadot, Al Pacino, Oscar Isaac, John Malkovich, and Franco Nero, Django
Whoa.
himself.
Wow.
That's like, what's that? One movie that's been completed for a while that I don't know why it hasn't come out is Gareth Evans, who did the amazing Raid films,
Yes.
those Indonesian martial arts films. He has a film that stars Tom Hardy, Timothy Olyphant, and Forest Whitaker that like it's a Netflix film. It's like I think it's been like finished for like ever and it just hasn't come out. I don't know why. Leos Carax has a short film that stars his longtime collaborator Denis Levant, who is in Holy Motors, that should probably premiere at Cannes. Pablo Larraín, who did Jackie and Spencer, has another in his like trilogy of,
Oh, with Angelina Jolie.
playing Maria
Maria
Callas. It's
Callas, yeah.
titled Maria. David Lowery, who did films such as A Ghost Story and The Green Knight, has a film starring Anne Hathaway. Called Mother Mary, and Michaela Cole, or who did that show, you know about rape? What's it called? I Will Destroy You.
Yes, and she was just in an episode of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the TV show.
That's who that is, right?
Yes.
I have not seen that show. But anyway, yes. One that I'm really like. This is another one that didn't come out along with Havoc. That like it's been done a while. It has a rating and everything. Night Bitch.
That's a
The
great
director,
title.
the one who did Diary of a Teenage Girl and Can You Ever Forgive Me and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Maria Heller, her fourth film. It's a horror comedy about a housewife, a mother, who is convinced she's turning into a dog.
Whoa.
And it stars
Hence the
Amy
bitch.
Adams.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, just a few more real quick. Paolo Sorrentino, who directed films like The Great Beauty and The Hand of God, he has
Yes.
a film starring Gary Oldman.
Whoa.
There is Queer, based on the famous novel by William S. Burroughs, directed by Luca Guadagnino, starring Daniel Craig. I'm
Ooh.
there for that, baby.
Oh,
There is a film by Trey Edward Schultz, who I think did one of the best directorial debuts in the past 10 years, Creesha. He also did the horror film It Comes at Night. He has an untitled film that's with The Weeknd, starring him and Jenna Ortega and Barry Keoghan, that I've heard rumors that it's kind of sort of like based on Misery. It's like a crazy fan like gets a hold of someone and keeps them captive.
Interesting.
And then we have to mention it may come out this year, it may not come out for 5 more years.
Yep.
What's the film where like would definitely be on our top five most anticipated, but we got to put it as an asterisk these days?
Terrence Malick, is it Written on the Wind? Is what it's called?
No, that's the Douglas Sirk movie, The
What's
Way of the Wind.
the sorry, I'm confusing my wind titles.
Yeah, and also there's The Way of Water with the Avatar film. Yeah,
That's
so The
exactly
Way of
right.
the Wind. Yeah, shot in 2019 before COVID, has still not been finished. I've
Well,
heard
Malick movies are
rumors.
made in the editing suite. We all know this.
Yes. And one that I don't have any idea if it's actually going to come out this year. I don't know where it is in its production, but this absolutely would be in my top 10 most anticipated. A pitch upon where Sethical, director of films such as Uncle Boonmi, who can recall his past lives, and most recently Memoria, is reuniting with that film star Tilda Swinton in a film kind of sort of biopic of Arthur C. Clarke,
Whoa.
who wrote with Kubrick 2001, kind of at the same time wrote the novel and wrote the screenplay with him. I'm very intrigued by this. It's like he's one of my favorite directors. Tilda Swinton is like, she said she's been filming for quite a while with him last year. I don't know where it is. It might be something he's going to be filming more of, but that is certainly one. If it actually does end up at least premiering at a film festival, I'm definitely intrigued by that. That may not be till next year, even at the
Yeah.
festival. But any other ones? I rambled off a bunch, but.
No, I mean that's pretty much it. I mean,
Oh, well, one thing I want to add, I don't know what's happening with Bong Joon-ho's film, Mikey 17, which was supposed to come out like now, like at the end of March, and then it got pushed back.
yeah.
And then it's not, and then it's set to be released in January 2025, which why would they release that movie, like this prestigious film, dump it in January?
Who
That's
knows? The
worrying
ways
me.
of studios sometimes are very mysterious.
Yes. So, a lot of things I'm excited for this year. Hopefully there won't be another strike that pushes
Yeah,
stuff again.
that will apparently be a bit of a impact on this year's slate is the writer strike and the actor strike might lead to near the end of the year a dearth of film premieres. But it's from our preview, the 10 we're most anticipated for, we had much less crossover than I was expecting. So it seems like we've got a nice array of auteur cinema and some interesting blockbusters coming out this year,
And
in addition to the.
I think I convinced you that you were certainly intrigued by some of the ones you maybe not even heard of before I
Oh,
mentioned them.
yeah, absolutely. So there we go. Our better late than never preview of the 2024 slate. We will be back reviewing some recent releases in the near future.
Yeah,
So
one of them that would have been fairly like it probably would have been in my 11 through 20 was Drive Away Dolls, because it's at least one of the Coen brothers making a
yeah.
film. I didn't like it very much,
Yeah.
so, but it still would have been one of my pretty high up on most anticipated just because he did it.
Yeah.
We will perhaps review that in the near future.
Yes, so thank you for listening, and I hope everyone is ex as excited for the 2024 movie schedule as we are. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back with you guys next time.